Ramsey TV.
Hello, everyone, from the studio at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. This is Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I'm pleased to be with you today, and I'm going to bring you some real spiritual meat today. I can't wait to tell you what I'm going to tell you. It's piggybacking off what I taught yesterday from the patio, smoking a cigarette early yesterday morning, as this thought came to me concerning those in Hebrews chapter 11 who are suffering and being abused by the world, and sometimes maybe even feeling down about themselves, and yet God says of them that the world is not worthy of them. Such a shocking statement. I have more to add to that here today on the show, MZTV. Welcome to one and all. But first of all, if you haven't seen Sunday's Rodney Paris Martin Zender special, I invite you to take a look, take a listen. Even if you have seen it or watched it, I should say, it's worth a relook. This was recorded 25 years ago, May 31st, 1999. Six of us went into a studio in Cleveland, Ohio, having never done radio before. Never even been in a radio studio. And we were about to launch on 5 weeks of live call-in radio. It was extremely scary and extremely exciting and just exhilarating. But none of us felt up to it. The strength and the power came from God. I was halfway there driving the hour and a half from Greenwich to Cleveland with my wife. And I'll never forget this moment. I turned to her and I said, "You know what I feel like doing right now?" And she said, "What?" I said, I just feel like turning around, going back home, and just you and me having a nice, quiet Bible study on the sofa. Because I knew we were stepping out, and we were going to make some bold proclamations. Not at first, we were going to work up to it in the 5 weeks we had at this studio. And what amazes me as I watch this, as I watch the wonderful video Rodney put to it, and I listen to that audio again, it is astounding the strength and the confidence we all have with no right to either thing, strength or confidence, no right at all. And yet there was definitely a strength given to us by God, a strength and a confidence, because we just hit the ground running. And I was just delighted to hear it. To hear myself, to hear this person I was 25 years ago, just jumping off the cliff and like, okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it. Like, let's fake it until we make it, at least. But we didn't have to fake it because we knew our material. We had Bibles all over the place. We had done Bible studies at my home before and at the home of Mike and Denise Tellup. I mean, we were prepared. And of course, I had studied for 8 years and had already been in the work full-time for 6 years. And so we were ready. We just had never presented it on live radio before. But boom, oh, it was magnificent. And I invite you to watch that again. The topic is coming to a realization of God. A great example of Martha and Mary. That scenario there at Martha and Mary's house never gets old to me. It's just astounding. We often hear the phrase, don't just sit there, do something, right? But as you look at Martha and Mary, the thought occurred to me, don't just do something, sit there. And Mary was just sitting at the Lord's feet and learning, and she was doing the better thing. So I commend that video to you again. Rodney brings it to life, taking these 25-year-old cassette tapes that would still be in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio, doing nobody any good at all. Rodney's bringing them to another generation, really. So for that, I am thankful and thrilled. So, folks, we are pioneers. We are the firstborn from among the dead, among mortals. We are the firstborn of all mortals. Let me explain that to you. Jesus Christ in Colossians is called firstborn from among the dead. Well, you might object, say, Martin, other people have been raised from the dead. Lazarus, Martha and Mary's brother, he was raised from the dead before Jesus was raised from the dead. That's true, and other people were as well. But Jesus Christ was the first one raised out of the death state to immortality. Immortality meaning you cannot ever die again. The unique thing about Jesus Christ is that he came into this world as an immortal. He was not mortal. He was not beset with sin. He had to voluntarily give up his life on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. If he had not have done that, here's a scary thought, he would have been on that cross yet today, because no one could take his life from him. He said that. No one can take my life from me. I give my life. And he gave his life, entered the death state, did not exist. Jesus Christ did not exist for 3 days. And then God roused him from among the dead. Jesus raised up off the slab, and he was immortal after having entered the death state. And he is, of course, the inaugurator of our faith. He is the one who guarantees that there is indeed immortality eventually for all. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. That's 1 Corinthians 15:22 and 23. Each in his own class. Christ the first fruit. Thereupon those who are his in his presence, and thereafter the consummation. What happens at the consummation is that death is abolished. Anyone who is in the second death comes out of it. And God becomes all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. That is a magnificent truth on its own, by itself. That's the truth that no one in organized religion understands. No religion understands it, not even the Christian religion. But here's the astounding thing, is we are pioneers among mortals. Let me put it to you this way. Never have mortals been made immortal. That's never happened before. Mortals have never been made immortal. Jesus Christ was made immortal, but he was not a mortal. He gave up his life. No one could take it. So we are a unique, I'm not going to say experiment. I'm tempted to say experiment, but we are a unique demonstration that God can resurrect mortals to immortality. See, no one knows that yet. Not by practical experience. No one has ever seen it before, because God has never done it before. But he has promised to do it with us, and thus we are going to be pioneers of the state of immortality, having come out of mortality. Never been done before. And this is why the world is not worthy of us, because of what we are going to do. And it will be seen that, well, if God can raise mortals to immortality, if he can do it with one person, he can do it with everybody. And he's going to do it with the body of Christ. And this is why, as I read yesterday from Hebrews, those Hebrews who were so maligned, so burdened with trial, being scoffed at, being ridiculed, being tortured, beaten, and killed. Yet they, among the Israelites, under the message of the circumcision, they were also going to be raised to immortality. And they were walking among the people, and the people despised them. Yet the people who despised them were not worthy of them. Again, you expect to hear it the other way. That these people are not worthy of the world. These off-scouring, the pond scum, the dregs of society, they're not worthy of the world. Surely that's what God meant to say at the end of Hebrews there in chapter 11. No. He said it right. The world was not worthy of them, because something amazing was going to happen with them. However, We are going to be made immortal before them. Because according to Ephesians, we are pre-expectants in the Christ. When 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 says, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class, 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23. The first fruit, Christ, that's been done thereupon, those who are Christ in his presence. This includes the circumcision saints, that is those of Israel who heard the circumcision gospel, and those of the body of Christ who hear the message of Paul. But we are pre-expectant in the Christ. We have a secret resurrection to immortality, as explained by our apostle in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, to you a secret am I telling. We shall not all die, but we shall all be made immortal. We shall all be changed in the casting of an eye at the last trump. This is also mirrored in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This was a secret, that there is a group of people who will be raised to immortality before Israel, because we are not appointed to indignation. We know that Israel is going to go through the day of indignation, through the tribulation. They are destined to do that. We have the 144,000 and the vast throng. They are going through the day of indignation. But we, the body of Christ, are not, because we are going to be extricated, Galatians 1:4, out of the current wicked eon. And we are not appointed to destruction. And we will be having ease with Paul and the rest of the dead in Christ at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is unveiled 75 days before the worthies of Israel are raised from the dead. So it's later, later, later. But we are earlier, earlier, earlier. We are going to be the first fruit of mortals to be given immortality. This is why the world is not worthy of us. Because we have a special calling, and God is going to demonstrate to the universe through us that he can and will raise mortals, not just from the dead to die again like Lazarus did and like many others who raised from the dead after our Lord's resurrection. No, but we are going to be raised to immortality. That's a whole different animal. There's a different Greek word for that. There's one word for resurrection. There's one word for immortality. And it is not being able to die again. You know, there are mountain climbers in that world who are famous because they pioneered routes. There's a famous part of the route up Mount Everest called the Hillary Step, named after Edmund Hillary, who was the first man to ascend Mount Everest with his Sherpa Tenzing Norgay. And ever since then, on mountains of every kind, the most challenging mountains in the world, whether it's K2, Annapurna, or even here at home, El Capitan, there are men who have pioneered routes. And after they do it, everybody does it. But the guy who pioneers it, he's the vanguard. He's the one who goes before. He's the one who ventures into the unknown to make sure it's safe for everybody else. Our Lord Jesus Christ did that for everyone of the human race, certainly for us. But now he gives us the glory of saying to us, I want you to be firstborn also. You're going to be firstborn. And we might object and say, but Lord, you're the firstborn from among the dead. And he says to us, yes, but you are the firstborn among mortals. And it is for this reason that the world is not worthy of us, because of the route we are pioneering for them. Because of the route we are pioneering for them. And the most startling thing of all is that we are the most despised of the world. That's the shock of Hebrews 11:38, and that's the shock of you and of me. How low we are, and how sometimes despondent we are, and how certainly despised we are. And yet we are being used by God to pioneer a route, to be the first mortals to be made immortal. This is why, and I referenced this verse yesterday, I want to read it right now. from Romans 8. You're all familiar with the passage, but I'm going to read it first from the Concordant version and then from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. Romans 8:19, "For the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God." The premonition of the creation. This is all sentient creation is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. And they don't even realize it. It's a premonition. It's probably not even conscious. But even the animal kingdom, they know that their liberation from bondage and decay depends on us, in that we will be the first from among mortal beings, including the animals, to be made immortal. It's an astounding verse. The premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. This is God telling us this. You can't see this. You have to be told this, and you have to be told it from the only one who knows, and that is God. "For to vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects it, in expectation that the creation itself," here it is, "the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God." They shall be inheriting the same freedom and the same glory that we are now expecting. They just have a premonition concerning it. Even human beings, because sometimes animals are more sensitive, more aware of things than human beings are. So even human beings have a premonition, but we have more than a premonition. We have an expectation. Why? Because God is moving us to the front. God is saying, I'm getting ready to do this. I'm getting ready to do this. I'm making you aware of it. The rest of the world has only a premonition, but I'm putting you, locking you in the crew capsule of this rocket, and you're going to pioneer a route to the celestial realm. Everybody's coming after you, but you're the firstborn of mortals to be taken on this ride. And I will prove with you, I will use you to prove to the rest of the world, to all creation, in fact, that I can do it. And your liberation will precede theirs. You are pioneering the route. But when they see you do it, then they will have the expectation, not just a premonition, but then an expectation. Nobody knew that humans could break the 4-minute barrier in the mile when Roger Bannister did it. As soon as he did it, he became the first to break 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 59 seconds and something. After he did it, everybody started to do it. But before that, it was a mental block in the mind of the human race. Nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. Bannister did it. And then people saw that it can be done. There you go. There you go. I want to end by reading this from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. This is so good. Romans 8:19 through 21 from the J.B. Phillips paraphrase. He has his passages subtitled. This is called "Present Distress is Temporary and Negligible." That's a great thought right there. "In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because in God's purpose it has been so limited. Yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of creation," and this is the promise we have, "the whole of creation, the whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in that magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God." And I would add one word to that: now. It only belongs to the children of God now, but it will soon belong to everyone. We carry, in a sense, we are carrying the hopes and the premonitions of all creation on our backs. We're carrying their burden. And the whole creation is on tiptoe to see what will happen with us, to see if God is true to his promises. Because when God does it with us, all creation will know that God will also do it with them.